San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. And you can hear us on iTunes if you search It's Your Money and Your Life for free. And we're also on AM760KFMB.com and also our website, iymoney.com. All the podcasts are there commercial free. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a philanthropist. He's a best-selling author and a marathon runner and an accomplished family office expert advising several high net worth families. And his name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I am marvelous, Joe. I'm resting up for the half marathon tomorrow morning.
Now, where's that going to be?
America's finest city half, the AFC half. It starts at the Cabrillo National Monument in Point Loma.
Uh-huh.
And runs down towards the airport.
Over the Laurel Street Bridge.
Harbor Island. And then, yeah, we get to climb 2 miles uphill, up A Avenue, and then six up into Balboa Park, over the bridge, and finish right there over by the Hall of Champions.
I remember that race well. That was my first.
That was your one and only,
my first and last half marathon.
Still have nightmares?
1984.
Still have nightmares,
Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn was still playing in the Padres, and he was living up in Poway, and I remember that was a hot, hot summer. And
Joe, did you say 84? Well, then you should be out there. It's your 30th anniversary.
I'll be at the finish line. I'll give you a bottle of water. So,
or a six pack.
Yeah, but anyway, what else do we want to talk about?
I had almost 300 people at my book signing Tuesday night. That was cool.
For
Marriott.
For What's Your Play?
So What's Your Play?
The whole story of the
my bestseller.
Right, the Bobby Riggs, Billie Jean King.
It's still best-selling.
People still, you have a website, so whatsyourplay.com, right?
Exactly, and we got the U.S. Open coming up, so tennis is really in the news again.
It's a big deal. And let's see, that... that's the story of you being the scrapbook maker for Bobby Riggs when you were a youngster. So it's a fascinating story.
Bobby Riggs, Billie Jean King, the Battle of the Sexes, there the Women's Liberation Movement, exciting stuff.
There you go. Well, speaking of sports, I know you and I are in this little battle about the Padres. I say they're going to finish. They're six games back in the wild card, and they're coming on. They're 16-8 since the break, but I know they're coming up on a rough road trip. We'll see how well they do. But they're a different team, you got to admit, from the first half.
Different than what? They...
Come on, they're playing.
They still don't hit.
They just won five in a row. Give them a break.
Okay.
You're a season ticket holder, and you're putting the team. I don't believe this.
I love the Padres. I just don't think they're going to hit 500.
I think you're just giving. They're playing, 667 ball tonight? That's unreal.
But Joe, you can't hit 500 when you're batting 225.
Oh, man, they hit a couple monster homers. Like, give them a break. Let's just look at Dick Enberg. I emailed Dick, and he said. He said, the winning is a wonderful panacea. So, but speaking. Okay. Speaking of panacea, on the line we have, you know, this week has been kind of a tragic week with the loss of Robin Williams. And I don't know if I ever told you this, Richard, but I used to go to the Improv in San Diego in Pacific Beach, 832 Garnett, former site of Moondoggies. That just closed. But I went there from 84. I made it my business to get to know the owner at the time, Mark Anderson. And, of course, the franchisor was a godfather in the world of comedy clubs because he started in New York in the 70s. And 60s even. Okay. Anyway, don't blow my thunder there. But on the line, we've got the host of A&E, Evening at the Improv, and just a giant in the world of stand-up comedy and comedy in general. His name is Bud Friedman. Bud, how are you tonight?
Pretty good. Again, all things considered.
Yes, yes. Well, anyway, I remember in 1985, December 11th, I looked it up, as a matter of fact, you brought down a trainload of talent for your first anniversary party down here in Pacific Beach at the Improv Club, and what a night. I remember in the audience, B. Arthur, Ruth Buzzy, Robert Hayes, who weren't even on stage, and then you put this great lineup of comedy up there to showcase everything, I sat with the crew from Channel 10. I worked there at the time, and the highlight of the night was Jonathan Winters and Robin Williams getting up there for 20 minutes. And, man, all Jonathan Winters had to do was move his jowls, and I was on the floor. But that whole room was in the orbit that particular night, and you must remember it vividly, correct?
I not only remember it vividly, but, of course, with Robin's untimely dying, I pulled out a picture that we have from that night with their both handles holding the candles from the table.
I remember that.
And Robin has a plant of, what's that, Christmas red flower?
Oh, poinsettia. Yes.
Poinsettia. in his other arm.
Oh, my gosh.
By the way, I don't mean to correct you because it's your show, but it was our opening, not an anniversary.
It was? Okay. You opened in 80. I thought he opened in 84. So,
but he opened in 85.
Yeah. All right. Well, whatever.
In any case, you're right about the crowd and about the Robin and Jonathan being on stage together.
Yeah.
But you know how that came about. I did something I've never done before or have done since, but I called Robin and told him that Jonathan Winters was coming to the opening and he loved to be there. And Mark Anderson, whose family were friendly with Jonathan, called Jonathan and said, Robin is coming, and he'd love to see you there. And we got them together on the stage for the first time.
How cool was that? You leverage one against the other. Good, good move. Yeah, I don't think that's ever happened before or since, has it? Did they ever do it? Right?
No.
Yeah, boy, that was incredible. All I know is everybody left that room. They were like a dish rag. It was just so hysterical. Now, you must have talked with Robin quite a bit. I mean, he was, and I got to chat with him only briefly, but he came, when he was off stage, he seemed like a very soft-spoken, almost shy and retiring guy. And but you would think with his career, you know, being on top of the world, who knew he was suffering depression like this? I mean, and he's not the only comic that goes through this, right?
Excuse me, he's not the only person that goes through that.
Yeah.
I don't want people to think that depression is a disease of comedians.
Right.
A lot of Americans suffer from depression.
Absolutely.
It's something we're becoming more aware of, and probably, hopefully now, something will be done about it. Mark Anderson also suffered from depression.
Yes, I know.
So,
yeah, look at Walter Cronkite, some other, I know a lot of notables suffered with this. There was another great national newscaster also, the name escapes me right now, but and I don't think it hits high-powered or notables more than the general population, is your point, right? I mean, a lot of veterans, obviously. So, but now, do you have any fond memories of Robin or any stories you'd like to tell that would be of interest?
Well, of course, my favorite story is the one I just told, but Robin also saved my ear on Melrose Avenue. In 1979, we had a fire that burned down the whole showroom. And I was out of business, more or less, for 8 months. And when we reopened, Robin very graciously donated his services. In 1979, you can realize how hot he was.
Mm-hmm.
History. And he did a concert for me at the club, you know, with all the proceeds going to me. And the improv.
Wow.
And kept us going. Yeah, really gave us a jump start, gave us some money, put some money in our pockets, but also gave us a lot of publicity, obviously.
Wow, that was kind of
really great.
Well, I remember back in the early days, there was obviously the Comedy Store and yourselves, and there came a point in time where it seemed like some comics were only allowed to play one club and not the other. Of course, Robin was so big, I mean, you'd be stupid not to have him play in your showroom, but there was that little bit of rift going on there at the time, but Robin stood above everybody, right?
Well, yeah, Robin you know, I did not have that rule. That was a Mitzi Shore rule.
Okay.
And Jay Leno said to Mitzi, because Jay came out here about a year before I did.
Mm-hmm.
But he started with me, and I used to manage him. So Jay said, well, I guess I'll have to go to the improv then, Mitzi, because, you know, Bud used to manage me. And I'll go, oh, you can work both places. And hey, those guys who had the balls to say something
mm-hmm.
about working both places, which was as it should be, because... You know,
right.
To help, you know, she says her club is a university.
Yeah.
Well, this is a place where they've got to learn, and they can't learn if they don't get a chance to perform, hopefully a couple of times a night.
Yeah. But anyway, Bud, I just wanted to thank you for coming on. We have to kind of wrap it here, but for all you've given in the world of comedy, we'll get you on again. We'll do like a whole hour with you because obviously you've got tons of stories and more to talk about, right? So thank you.
One non-comedy story. Last night.
Mm-hmm.
Paul McCartney came in.
Oh, wow. My God.
So,
all right. Well, we'll get him more. We're going to have you back and we talk all about that. Thank you so much.
I'll try to bring Paul with me.
All right.
That's a deal.
All right. We got to take our break right now. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life right after this. Hang on. are back with It's Your Money and Your Life with thanking Bud Friedman for spending a few minutes with us. We'll get him back again because obviously he's got a lot to talk about. But now in studio, we have our guest who's had a meteoric successful career, graduate of San Diego State University, still a youngster and making his mark in the food and hospitality industry here and elsewhere. And his name is Scott Slater of Slater's 5050. Scott, welcome. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Fantastic.
Good.
Wow. What can we say? You graduated San Diego State in 04 in political science and grew up in San Diego, I take it?
I grew up in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm an Aztec at heart, and I'm now a local of San Diego.
There you go. So after graduation, why don't you just take us right through the story? Because it's really cool for people who want to be on inspiring entrepreneurs. You got to hear this whole history here. So what do you say?
Well, now it's Slater's 50-50, but right after San Diego State with a political science degree, like you said, what else do you do but go sell hot dogs outside of Home Depot, right?
So, that's what it's good for.
Right. I had a buddy of mine at the time, and he had a philosophy degree. I had a political science degree, and I didn't want to lick envelopes, and he didn't want to stand on the corner selling ideas. So we flew up to the Bay Area and actually opened up a hot dog stand outside of Home Depot, and we knocked out of the park, did a great job, and it ended up taking us to Vegas, Phoenix, New York, Orange County, Los Angeles, and obviously the Bay Area.
How many total locations?
We opened up 36 of them.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And you didn't want to stick with that, so what happened?
Well, it was unfortunate. There was a slight recession in 2008. I don't know if you guys...
Oh, yeah.
I remember that, baby.
Yeah, I do too.
I read something about
and,
that.
And unfortunately, people stopped going to Home Depot around that time. So
really?
Our business suffered a little bit. I was fortunate enough to get out with a little bit of money in the bank and found Slater's 5050, found a location in Anaheim Hills in Orange County, and...
So, I mean, your hot dogs to a full-on restaurant is quite a quantum leap.
Well, it's
I mean,
a natural graduation, hot dogs to hamburgers.
Well,
we're working on a...
But true, but I mean, opening up a brick-and-mortar right. place with a big investment like that, did you have some financial counseling or business counseling or what?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm probably not the right person to ask for advice opening up a new restaurant. I did it. It was completely bootstrapped. The location I looked at in Anaheim. It was a former restaurant where the dude went out of business. He threw the keys on the counter and walked out. The tables were set. The glasses were there.
That's the best way to get in without a lot of investment.
Yeah, it was a young kid. I was 27. Because
to get a blank space and outfit it.
It wasn't even blank. I mean, I painted to fit and banged it to match. You know, it's been ever evolving since we opened, but you know, I didn't even have any beers on tap when I opened. Now we have over 111 beers at our locations.
Huh.
So it was definitely an evolving concept when I opened.
Wow. So, and developing the menu, was that what you started with first, the bacon and the burgers? Or?
Yeah. So as I said before, 50-50, it stands for 50% ground beef, 50% ground bacon. That's our signature patty. And
of course, it's a great story how you even developed that.
Well, for San Diego locals, absolutely, because it was discovered in our backyard at a Charger tailgate game.
And you were hungover.
It was college, and it was a Sunday. It was a Sunday morning, so you do the math. San Diego State in particular. So
what happened? Somebody had cooked bacon, and somebody had.
Well, you go to the tailgates. You have sausages. You have
like
ribs. You have
this
burgers.
Like Animal House here.
You don't want something that you know. You want bacon when you get up at 9 o'clock in the morning. And well, that wasn't the original. The original was 100%. You wanted bacon in the morning, and you can't put it on the grill. It catches on fire and falls through the grill. So.
Right.
I went to the butcher and I said, "Can you grind up a pork belly?" The guy looked at me cross-eyed.
Yeah. You guys were barbecuing bacon on the grill. You had to be hungry.
Get it warm, fellas.
But you know what? You know, you fell into it. I mean, that's become like your trademark now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, I did the burger for a few years before I opened up the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I opened up the restaurant and the name kind of sounded cool and everybody loved the burgers. So we built a concept around it and obviously built from there. But it's still our signature patty and what we get the most attention for.
So... You discovered this as a student in San Diego State, and then you decide to open in Anaheim. Why not down here first, or just worked out that way?
I was up in the Bay Area at the time.
Oh, okay.
And my former partner with the hot dog stands, he moved into restaurant equipment business.
Okay.
And the restaurant that went out of business, he had some claim to some of the equipment that was down there, so he called me up while I was in the Bay Area, flew down, signed the lease a few weeks later, and...
Huh.
How many square feet did you pick up in Anaheim Hill?
It was 4,000 when I first picked it up. Yeah, and I've expanded it twice. Now we're at 5,600 in that same location.
Wow.
Which is a typical footprint for us now.
Yeah.
5,600, correct. I mean, well, so then when did Liberty Station happen in the chain of events?
Liberty Station was number three, and that was actually with San Diego. That was my excuse to move back down to San Diego. I lived in, if anybody's familiar with Anaheim Hills, it's a great town, but if you're a 28-year-old single guy, there's not much for you. So I opened up Huntington Beach right after that, and congruently San Diego at the same time, and I moved down the same day that we opened up the doors. And still, I have no business living down here business-wise, but I continue to open up restaurants down here just to justify my residence.
Yeah.
But,
well, Liberty Station, I hear, is off the hook. How many beers? 110 beers now?
We have 111 rotating taps at that location. So we're constantly looking for new beers and exposing San Diego to that craft beer scene.
Yeah.
Not that we need to, but...
Well, it's an amazing place, and big sports crowd comes in too, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And speaking of the Chargers, I mean, we wear Charger shirts with my name on it during on the Sunday games. We tailgate every Sunday at the games also, so we actually bus people in from the other stores, Pasadena, Rancho Cucamonga, and the three stores in Orange County. So we bus people in with a package where we get a ticket to the Charger game, you get a tailgate where we're serving beer and burgers, and you get a ticket to the game. So we're bringing people in from...
Wow.
LA and Orange County at the same time.
Wow, that's amazing.
Spreading the Charger gospel.
How many go on any given Sunday, would you
know? Well, we have 75 season tickets that we own, and our tailgates get to about 100, 125 people.
How do you like that? Yeah. Wow, that's great.
Anyway, I've been to your Huntington Beach location, and I have a funny story about that. I was up there for a half marathon.
Do I want to hear this? Or?
Yeah, no, I was up there for a half marathon on a Sunday. This is a Saturday. And I was having too much fun for a guy who was supposed to be running a half marathon the next day. So I had your signature 50-50 burger the evening.
This was before the race?
Yeah, the evening before the race, which you're not supposed to do. And I went out and I ran my third fastest half marathon ever out of about the 50 that I've done.
Wow. I'm gonna use that next time somebody challenges.
The only reason I can think of is because I had one of your 50-50 burgers.
Put that in print.
That's,
I like
that's
it.
Called fast food, folks.
It's fast food, exactly.
You got to put that on the menu, Richard, or your little testimonial or something like that. Wow.
So much for eating right and everything else. It's great food, but I normally wouldn't do that the night before running a half.
I thought you were supposed to be eating pasta, but...
You're supposed to, but I didn't.
Well, it's good food. So
it's good food.
It's packed with energy.
Exactly.
And it's,
well, that's the other thing. We'll get into the sustainability and the sourcing because you take great care in doing all of that. And but we got to take a break right now. We're going to come right back with It's Your Money and Your Life after news, sports, and weather right after this. All right, we are back with the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life, and now over to Richard to thank our illustrious sponsors.
Thank you, sponsors. Couldn't do it without you, and in no particular order. Got these all memorized, of course, having done business with them forever, over 20 years in most cases. Michael Carranza and Drew Freitas with UBS in downtown La Jolla. Right across the street from UBS, the best business bank in San Diego, that would be Regents Bank. Steve Sefton and Sean Puckett. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, the best CFO service here in San Diego. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, Polito Epic CPAs up in Vista, Paul Polito and Don Epic. My dear friend Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, Business Valuation Services, helping business owners understand the risks that drive their businesses and the values of their businesses and improving the value of same. And last but not least, Brenda Geiger with the Law Offices of Brenda Geiger. Brenda specializes in estate planning and asset protection. So those are our sponsors. And if you want to know more, Joe, what would you do?
All you have to do is get on the website, iymoney.com. There is a menu across the top of the page. Just get your cursor on sponsors. There's a drop-down menu, and you can find out all their information and specialties and contact information right there. And I know they've all been working with Richard for many years with great success, and their personal colleagues. They're not just random sponsors. Right, Richard?
This week, I was in touch with 5 out of the 7.
Mm-hmm.
Doing stuff that we do normally.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I mean, that's like every week.
Outstanding.
That's not unusual.
Outstanding. Anyway, we're back with our guest, the proprietor and founder of Scotters, of Slater's 50-50.
Scotters? Slater's?
What did I have for lunch? But anyway, Scott
Slater. 50-50 of it, right?
But Scott Slater of Slater's 50-50 is here, and it's just been a delight. So we left off. Richard ate your bacon burger.
Yeah, and then ran a really fast half marathon.
First half marathon. And
so, Scott, let me ask you a question. As an entrepreneur, I assume you're really hands-on. Is that a good assumption?
Yeah, I mean, certainly not in the day-to-day operations anymore, but certainly hands-on with the seven locations and at least the vision, the direction of the company. Yeah.
So what's been the biggest challenge? Because obviously when you just had one location, I assumed you were really hands-on, and now obviously you're leveraging and scaling up. What's been the biggest challenge? I think with any restaurant owner or entrepreneur,
when you do scale at this size, consistency is always going to be the biggest challenge. Mm-hmm. And growing too fast and losing any of that consistency and that personal touch that you used to have. So trying to communicate that personal touch and trying to communicate that importance of that that hands-on guest experience and passing that through the ranks. So, I mean, we have 1,000 team mm-hmm. members right now. So instilling the same beliefs that I had with the one location into 1,000 people is a work in progress. I think we're doing a pretty darn good job of it, but moving forward, I think that's still going to be the constant.
Well, obviously, challenge. Yeah. You know, the menu development, the philosophy of the business. Did you work in the food industry as a teenager or a youngster? Because you know, selling hot dogs and then launching into this is a quantum leap.
I didn't do anything out of the ordinary. Dishwasher when I was 15. Waited some tables throughout college, but. You know, I have a pretty common palate, I like to say, mm-hmm. and it's just something that I'm used to, and it was easy to create. I'm a consumer myself. I go to restaurants and I mm-hmm. nitpick every time I go in there. So when I'm developing any type of dynamic to the restaurant, I certainly use my experience in other places that I enjoy.
Right, but the importance of the guest experience, it's you know, all the big businesses and the successful ones spend a lot of time on that. Where did you pick up that little niche or
Look, and I think it had a lot to do with just being a consumer myself. When you go into a restaurant or any establishment, you always appreciate that hands-on mm-hmm. experience from the owner, from the server, whoever it is, and that's what brings me back. So when I spend my money, when I go to somewhere else, I know somebody's name over there, and they know what I like, and they know how I choose to have it. You know, so knowing that, and even to go back to the hot dog days too with Home Depot, we're constantly dealing with regular people who come in. Day by day, these are contractors that come every day. Mm-hmm. So you take that and you realize how valuable a regular guest is, mm-hmm. and how valuable that is. You tend to.
Yeah, I always say, and Richard, you can weigh in on this. The most important person in any business is the receptionist, because that's your first impression of a business is the first person, the first contact when you go in there. And if they are polite and charming and
Well, here's the deal, Joe. I mean,
educated too.
Yeah, educated.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, you have to give the customer the opportunity to engage in some flexibility to the extent that, in my opinion, in the restaurant business, if you're really rigid with your offerings, and I know you guys do a good job of letting people do their own thing,
which is also a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it's a challenge because your team members really have to be able to, shall we say, move quickly on their feet.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you go to my heart of the house and you see my kitchen mm-hmm. line, it's when the rockets are red glare. Yeah. It's, you know, every ticket's different. You design your own burger at Slater's 50-50. So it's, you know, every minor details that gets expectations. So not only does the hostess need to know, the servers need to know, the line guys in the back need to know. It's a complicated concept to put out there. But we're doing a pretty good job with it. But there's
always challenges.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
My theory of the case is that having really good food isn't enough to be a successful restaurant, because the customer assumes that's the basic thing they're going to get.
There's also the
question is what gets added to that in terms of the experience.
Right. Well, people don't go to the restaurants to eat anymore. It's a whole other. I mean,
just to have an event, an experience.
Yeah, 10 years ago, casual restaurants were, it was, you know, you build it, they will come. You're hungry, you go to you know, Chili's or whatnot. Now you need to provide added value.
It's a visual thing. It's the touchy-feely thing. It's the charismatic person serving you or working with you and the ambiance, I mean, plus the food's got to be outstanding, you know.
If the food's no good, people won't come back. Yeah. But the point is that doesn't get you loyal customers, because almost everybody with a restaurant, they try really, really hard to have high quality food.
And it's got to be one of
some
the most.
Some do, some don't, that's but they don't want to.
I'm so amazed at this guy because, you know, it's opening a restaurant is it's one of the most highest failure rates of any new business.
So anyway, at the leadership event that I ran for 3 days here in San Diego this week, I had Kevin Harrington on, who you may know of from Shark Tank. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about the importance of building a really, really strong leadership team. So now that you've grown from one location to many, have 1,000 team members, how big is your leadership team or your management team?
Well, I have about 22 people on corporate right now. So I have two regional managers, a VP of operations. We have an HR team, a marketing department, finance department. We have a pretty large corporate mm-hmm. team to manage all this, and it's mm-hmm. again, it goes more than just, you know, taking food out to point A to point B. Sure. There's a lot to manage it.
Now, where did you find your chef, executive chef Brad Lyons? Because that's a very key person.
Yeah,
in the
Brad Lyons has been with me from day one. He's actually a San Diego State grad with me.
What did he major in?
He majored in communications.
There you go.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but he went after San Diego State. He went to Le Cordon Bleu. So he's professionally trained as a chef also.
That's amazing. And so as far as the meats and the items on the menu, where do you derive your meats from? Because I know you're probably pretty particular about the bacon and the beef.
Yeah, absolutely. It's our number one. It's our number one
item.
Yeah. So all our beef is sourced from Brant Farms out in San Diego County. Okay. So we get all of our meat locally sourced. Bar M is our bacon. And
they're local also?
They're local also. And then our bread actually comes from Santa Monica. We found a bakery up there that serviced our Orange County stores. And they literally bake their bread the night before, put it in the van. We have one guy that pretty much we employ. He drives to all seven locations every morning.
Whoa.
And we get fresh bread every single morning.
See, that's the kind of drive you have to have, Richard.
driver carries lots of dough or something. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the attention to detail, for God's sake. You know, that was funny, Richard.
Okay. I'll give you that. I know Eric was laughing, but I'm like, wait a minute. Anybody get that?
That's one of those time release deals.
Oh, that's funny. How many meals do you guys serve a day then, on average, between all the locations?
I think we do about 75 to 8,000 a week.
Oh, wow. That is a lot. Because it's not the same thing because of the custom design that the...
Like I said, it's an incredibly difficult concept to put forth, but we do it.
Impressive.
We do it.
So Liberty Station, how many square feet down there?
Liberty Station is 6,900 with the patio.
Wow.
So we have a nice big patio out there with an outdoor beer garden.
Yeah.
Private event space. And
right around from Kompany over there, right?
Right on the other side, right? Yeah. There's the Ace Hardware.
For your point of reference, folks. And then San Marcos.
San Marcos just opened up in April, and that's... off San Marcos Road, right next to the Home Depot, coincidentally enough. It was an old Cool Hand Luke's, and now we just opened up in April, and we're doing very well.
And how
there.
Many square feet's that one?
That one's 7,000.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big store.
Okay, and then, of course, Pasadena, Lake Forest, Rancho Cucamonga. I sound like a train conductor. In addition, in Huntington Beach, and that's it for now, right?
Yeah, well, Lake Forest, I think we got one.
And Lake Forest.
Next to Irvine.
Oh, and Lake Forest, I missed that one.
If you're driving off the 5, you could see it on the...
Yeah, I've seen that one.
On the east side.
Unreal. This is just great that, you know, a youngster coming out of, you know, he's 32 years old.
Yo, check this out.
I love how these baby movers, they're so surprised that these millennials are actually doing well. So
we were doing this leadership conference
There's more
days.
Of me out there.
I know, but...
Joe, listen to this. Okay. We were doing a leadership conference for 3 days, had 362 people, and it was supposed to be about entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. You know, we had 27 kids in there under the age of 20.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I said. Wow, you got to be... I mean, I thought that was just awesome. To have 27 guests under the age of 20 at my entrepreneurial leadership program.
That's great.
I think we've all, you know, had some negative things to say about prior generations. I think this current one, I think it skips a generation. You get the, you know, the successful parents and then the lazy kids, and then they have kids and then they don't want to be like their parents, so they're harder working, I think. Maybe that makes sense. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to take a little break.
It made no sense, by the way, Joe. But
I'll fix it when we come back.
Okay.
Hang on, I'll be right back. All right, we are back with the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life with Scott Slater of Slater's 50-50, and we left off with the millennials, up-and-coming generation. My whole point is I think these new young kids coming up are pretty sharp and pretty driven, more so maybe than a prior generation, but it's hard to generalize. Look, most kids are, most everybody, you know, they're hardworking, they just want to live
their life.
I think
kids these days, my point though, I think kids tend to be more inclined to follow their passion these days than our generation did when we were supposed to be teachers, doctors, lawyers, whatever we were supposed to be.
I'd have to agree with that. Everybody in my circle is the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. So whatever we were supposed to be, Joe, we wound up doing a radio show. So
I did radio.
We didn't get too far.
I'm following my passion and my bliss. I did college radio for God's sake. So
Hey, Scott, you coined a term called Ecstasy.
Yeah, you got it right. I got it right on the first try.
It sounds like that's from the Derek Zoolander School for Kids Who Don't Read Too Good. But what is ecstasy?
It's simpler than it sounds. It's excess and ecstasy put in together. So, okay. I mean, everything at Slater's 50-50, whether it's beers or the burgers or the TVs on the wall or what have you, the atmosphere, it's a little bit of excess, and it's ecstasy. I have problems with
that.
And you trademark it, right?
Yeah.
And it means I see the overwhelming excitement you feel when you're indulging at Slater's 50-50 experience.
Wow, so we should use you for
just the way your gal wrote it for me.
Well, I saw you said it's burgers, beer, and bacon. It's not brain surgery.
Exactly.
I like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's outstanding. Like that. And your other key tenets of your philosophy, service, obviously. Everything you want to do is to improve the experience, engagement, engage the customers.
All that stuff. We try to have fun with everything. I like to say we're a little aggressive with our style, but we're approachable.
Now, do you have regular weekly, think circles or with your team or whatever, or thought circles, whatever that Deming guy did?
Not that millennial, but okay. We certainly have meetings. Okay. I can regale you with the excitement of HR meetings and operations meetings. But
I mean, training and things like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And our onboarding and our training, it's definitely a little bit more fun than other concepts. I mean, our values are completely different than other concepts, and we're trying to stay digital, we're trying to stay youthful, we're trying to stay millennial, we're trying to redefine what casual dining is, because casual dining it's dying off right now. Like mm-hmm. I said before, that's when people used to go out because they're hungry. Now we mm-hmm. need to give them a reason to sit down and spend an hour and 15 minutes with us.
Of course, when you have the right leadership and they give off the right energy and the right attitude and cultivate the kind of attitude and performer that you want, that's contagious, right? And that's probably what you strive for at all the locations.
Absolutely. And it's everybody to be themselves. So mm-hmm. it's, I'm myself. I'll show up in t-shirt mm-hmm. and jeans sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's you speak how you want to speak. You be transparent. You have mm-hmm. fun while you're over there. Mm-hmm. And you trust and empower your people to do the right decisions mm-hmm. and naturally... the good people, if you have a good onboarding system, that's what people are going to do. They're going to do the right thing.
Nothing better than working hard and having fun at it, right, Richard?
Hey, I tell people, if you don't have fun every day, then you're doing something wrong.
Then find something else to do, right?
Absolutely. I think a lot of the world isn't having fun every day, so they're doing something wrong. Yeah. So, Scott, you're now an entrepreneur. You're not working in your business. You're working on your business. You're only 32. Where do you see this business 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
Well, the whole goal is go nationwide. I mean, as long as people are standing outside the door waiting for a table, there's no reason why not to service them. So we're working on some different markets.
He's got a new concept coming up, too. Why don't you tell us that?
That's a little pet project. Yeah, that's
can we talk about that?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do.
Yeah, so like you said, I'm trying to, or like I said before, I'm trying to justify my residency in San Diego. So most of my restaurants are up north. So Swine Bar is the new concept that's coming out. And that's a little bit more aggressive and less approachable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going back to the roots with the Home Depot hot dogs, where we're doing mostly sausages.
Mm-hmm.
And they're exotic meats. So we're using anything from elk and rabbit, venison. Mm-hmm. We got llama, alpaca. Was it good in yak, iguana, python?
Really?
And then we're using those meats also. We'll be doing breakfast and dinner, so we have some pretty creative plates.
Are you
with
switching
that.
From beer to hard alcohol at this place?
Well, I already have hard alcohol. We have a full bar, but this one
I might need a few shots before I try something like that.
You want to talk about aggressive? The cocktails that we're doing, we use the four S's,
which is
savory, salty, smoky, and spicy.
Okay,
so those are going to be the cocktails that the theme is, and same with the food. So beaver's one of the meat that we're going to be doing. We'll be serving beaver.
All right, I won't touch that one.
You'll be able to come in and get beaver tacos. Beaver tacos. Once we open up in October.
All right. Go right from there to the Chargers
game. I've never ordered
it's Saturday.
Yak
it's
before.
A Saturday evening show. It's primetime weekend.
That's
there
right.
We go. That's little, right. We can get a little edgy here, right?
Anyway. But yeah, it'll be a little bit more exciting. It's definitely more of a chef driven. Idea, and it's gonna be fun, and we're making our own bacon, so I can't leave my bacon obsession. So we're actually gonna be bringing in our own pork bellies and brining it and doing 15 different styles and flavors of bacon.
Well, these exotic sausages and meats. I mean, in Chicago, we were talking about hot dogs. They just closed, but I mean, that was a very successful.
Well, we'll be doing everything in house. We're bringing in the game meat ourselves, and we're actually gonna be doing the combinations ourselves. Where some of the other
will it be like a little demo area where people can see how it's made. And
absolutely,
everything?
Absolutely.
Not like Congress. You don't like they say making laws like making sausage.
I don't do anything like Congress, nor especially the current one.
Joe, in the span of 2 weeks, we've gone from acai bowls to yak meat.
Which
so I told you about the acai yak sausage.
There we go.
That just shows you our range of excellence, Richard.
Exactly.
Actually, venison blueberries, one of them. So that's almost that's venison. Close. Yeah.
Wow. That sounds exotic.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Now, down in the South, they have exotic, you know, the Cajun palate is kind of unique, right? Yeah. The alligator and things.
Well, we currently serve an alligator sausage. We do an alligator sausage macaroni and cheese at Slater's. We're doing an eggs benedict with alligator and Dewey sausage at the Swine Bar.
Maybe you should set up like a little, like they do a flight of beers, maybe a sample of these things, and so people can, sample.
You're reading my mind. Actually, if I'm going to need some managers over there and some creativity.
Ooh, I could use a little part-time work.
Keep coming up with these ideas.
Yeah, I'll be there. Why not? I can do a little work.
Yeah, I'm actually heading over to tasting right after this. We're doing a little dinner tasting.
Really?
With some of the sausages, yeah.
Outstanding. I wish I could go. I've got another commitment. Otherwise, I would have gone over there. So fantastic. But, you know, Richard, maybe we should take them up on this Chargers thing.
Yeah, that'd be
one
fun.
Of these Sundays, because
that'd be a lot of fun.
Chargers looking pretty darn good so far.
Yeah, it's only really been one preseason game. Okay.
I don't care. They look good.
Oh, long-suffering Charger fans.
Go Bulls.
Hey, they had a great second half and even got into the playoffs last year won at
that
Cincinnati.
Really cool.
They beat Cincinnati, who had not lost at home all year. So,
Scott,
there you go.
You stay in good shape. You obviously eat a lot of your product. What do you do, though, not to put on?
Just like you, I run quite a bit.
Oh, you do? Good for you.
I do run quite a bit, and everything's in moderation, so I do eat at the restaurant probably almost every day.
Okay.
We have salads and grilled chicken, the same thing.
You
so, you know, once a week I'll indulge on a good burger, and we always do samplings, but yeah, you gotta spend an hour a day.
Well, let's drill down a little bit. You run quite a bit as, like, 5 days a week, and how much?
Well, like 4 days a week, 5 miles is
good
my
for you.
Is
like
my
40
habit.
Miles
yeah.
a week. Like that's about right.
About 45 minutes, an hour, something like that?
Yeah. But I do it in 50 minutes. It's more of a jaunt.
10-minute miles. Wow, that's good. Pretty good. Richard, good. What do you do to the mile in during your
I just ran a mile competitively in 6:07 at that meet down at Balboa Park back in June, the day after having eye surgery.
Wow.
So that wasn't bad. And I'm old. I'm 56.
So not going to half marathon. What do you do your mile in?
I'm going to run tomorrow. I'm going to run a 140 something. Whether it's a high 140 something or a low 140 something, we'll know more. Depends probably on how humid it is.
And that breaks down per mile to what?
An 8-minute pace would be a 145. That would be an 8-minute pace.
Well, that's quite a race, because I think you take the buses from the...
Yeah, we have to pick the bus up at Balboa Park, then you drive 13.1 miles to the start line, then you get to run back to where you started.
Yeah, they take you out.
Makes a lot of sense.
They take you out
to
the Cabrillo Monument, right?
Exactly.
And I did that race. Well, you know what? When I did that race, you start out the monument, you go down to Harbor Island, you do your nice little loop-de-loop, then you go downtown to, I think it was Ash Street.
Yeah, we go up Broadway and then Broadway. India and then A.
When they
then
cut
six.
Over to, I think you go up 6, folks, you know, you don't realize that that is a hill, but when you are running it after...
Oh, that's a hill. It's a mile and a half.
After 10.
So, Scott, around mile 11 and a half, I need a couple of burgers with a six-pack waiting for me.
Yes.
But you don't drink beer.
No, but I might start right there.
You let me know. I'll crack open a pint with you.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, because you're right, Joe. The finish is tough.
Yeah.
It's serious business.
I had no idea, you know, and there were people huffing and puffing. And then I get to the finish line. Well, I had a sweatband on, and I got it halfway across the Laurel Street Bridge, and it fell off, and I bent over and looked at the sea of legs coming at me. And with that, and then I'm thinking...
your life flashes in front of your eyes.
I go, if this is a marathon, I'll only be halfway. And with that thought, I almost passed out. And I get to the finish line, and people were passing out all over the place. They had a place. But anyway, Scott, we have to wrap it up. But thanks so much for being our guest.
Thanks for having
Slater's
me.
Slater's 5050. What's your website, by the way?
Slater's5050.com and then swinebar.com.
Yes, gotcha.
And thank you, Richard. It was great seeing you this week. And thank to Eric Rubalcava, our sound engineer, who makes us sound great. Thanks to Bud Friedman also for joining us. And to Craig Blank, our con executive, and Dave Sniff. You have a great week, everybody. Go to iymoney.com to hear this anytime you want. Good night now.